Army senior leaders told the Senate Armed Services Committee that the elimination of a continuing resolution and the passage of a formal budget only fixed about a third of their 2013 funding problem. The sequestration cuts that Congress left in place will force them to find $7.6 billion in savings in just the latter half of this fiscal year. On top of that, the Army is short $7.8 billion in its Afghanistan wartime account because of higher than expected operating costs. That's just the 2013 problem. If sequestration remains in place for the next 10 years, as it is in current law, the Army will have to cut, at a minimum, another 100,000 soldiers. General Ray Odierno, the Army Chief of Staff, says those reductions would have to begin immediately in 2014.
And by the time we paid separation benefits for these soldiers, the cost to separate them would exceed the savings garnered. The maximum we can reduce the force by without breaking readiness and including excessive separations costs is somewhere between 15 and 20,000 soldiers per year. But this would only save $2 billion a year. So right now, almost the full weight of sequester will again fall on the modernization and readiness accounts, where such drastic cuts will take years to overcome. The net result will be units that are overmanned, unready, and unmodernized. The steepness of the cuts in sequestration forces us to be hollow.
Odierno says he began his career as a young officer in the Hollow Army of the late 1970s and doesn't want to leave the service in the same condition. But he told the Senate that's the inevitable result under a prolonged sequestration. John McHugh, the Secretary of the Army, says the service has already been forced to make damaging cutbacks to readiness in 2013. 80% of Army units will see degraded levels of training this year.
The things that we're going to have to do, the things we've already done here in 13, will in some instances take multiple years to fix, regardless of what we may do in 14 and adopting either the Senate resolution, the President's proposed budget, or the House resolution, because we're just creating holes that don't get fixed overnight. For example, at the Aviation Center of Excellence at Fort Rucker, sequestration will probably require the reduction of more than 500 training seats. Those just don't get recreated in a year's time. The chief mentioned about how we'll only be able to do two BCT rotations at our NTC. All of those other rotations will be put back into the queue. It's not like they'll make up that readiness in a six-month period. So those are holes that are, even under the best of circumstances as we can see it, that we're going to be dealing with for some time. But at least with predictability and an on-time budget and control of CRs, we're going to be significantly challenged in the way ahead.
McHugh and Odierno say the sequestration cuts are too large, but more importantly for the Army, they're too sudden. They argue that if the spending reductions have to happen, they should be pushed more to the out years so the Army has time to plan and make intelligent decisions. That's not the way the Army's making budget cuts right now, partially because of the indiscriminate nature of sequestration. In order to protect current operations in Afghanistan, items like training, readiness, and civilian pay are taking a vastly indiscriminate hit. Odierno worries it's only a matter of time before those reductions cause the Army's most talented people to look for something else to do.
We are not seeing it yet, because we're still involved with some heavy issues with Afghanistan, and the full impact of not having enough money to train has not fully hit yet. It's just beginning to hit. But if it continues over a 2-3 year period, I believe we'll have some real challenges on our hands in terms of people saying, I want to stay in an organization that's the best organization in the world. They might start questioning that. So I think we still have time to ensure that we can keep the best in our Army. We have to act now and make sure we are doing the right thing and get predictable budgets that allow us to prove to them that we are going to have an Army that is right size, trained, and ready when they're asked to deploy anywhere around the world.
Budgets have been anything but predictable over the last 3 years. Since 2010, the government has operated under 12 separate continuing resolutions during various episodes of political paralysis over the federal budget. Odierno says the decreased operational tempo soldiers will see in the coming years might also contribute to lower retention rates. He says the Army is especially focused on holding on to the mid-grade officers and non-commissioned officers who've gained invaluable operational experience in Iraq and Afghanistan. He says the Army's attrition rates are lower than they've been in years, but that won't always be the case, especially as the economy improves.
We're looking at our new leader development program to help adjust them and help them stay interested in order for them to help us to develop what we're going to look like. I think it's exciting for them to look at how we will develop our Army in the future. But the one thing that would help us tremendously in doing this is predictability. Predictability in our budget so we can clearly outline where we are headed as an Army. And if we don't get this predictability, it's going to cause all kinds of problems. It's going to cause potential hollowness in the Army. It's going to cause potential loss of leadership that we've developed over a long period of time. So for me, if we can just get some predictability that allows us to put a solid plan together that Congress and us have worked together on for our Army, that will frankly reduce a lot of angst that's out in both the civilian and military workforce. They still want to serve. That's not the issue. But if we continue along this unpredictability, it's going to start to whittle away at our leaders.
Secretary McHugh says he's especially worried about the corrosive effect of ongoing budget turmoil on the Army's civilian workforce. Just like uniformed soldiers, their training is being cut back. But unlike those soldiers, they're about to face a 20% pay cut over the next several months.
That comes on top of 3 years of pay freezes for the civilian employees. They feel a part of this Army as well, and we believe they should. They've been critical to the fight, and their morale is I think, on the downswing. And there are 50,000 U.S. Army civilians who today could walk out the front door with full retirement benefits, and another 25,000 who are eligible to go and receive early retirement benefits. And I'm concerned, again, if we don't get this straightened out so we can at least see a straight path forward, whatever that is, those civilians are going to start the walk on us as well. And in their own way, they're absolutely as important to this fight as every soldier is as well.
Even if Congress reaches an agreement that abolishes sequestration, the Army is facing uncomfortable decisions about drawing down its uniformed end strength because of funding reductions that predate the automatic budget cuts. The $487 billion in spending reductions Congress agreed to in the first part of the 2011 Budget Control Act already require the Army to cut 89,000 soldiers over the next 5 years. Odierno says for junior members of the service, things are on track to meet that target. But in the grades of lieutenant colonel and colonel, the Army will need to impose mandatory early retirements. The service expects to convene selection boards to accomplish that this fall. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.